time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah. Here we are, crystal clear in your ear. Once again, happy Black History Year. What's good, Muhammad?
You're a poet and you didn't know it.
Hey.
Everything good, man. Shit, I'm fresh off a nice family-oriented weekend with, you know what I'm saying, the Vibe fam up in St. Louis. You know, Carla's daughter got married, which is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Especially leading into the Muhammad holiday next week. It's kind of like when I first got to New York and I had to go to an event to meet the nigga to try to get on. I got to the event. Carla was at the door. I didn't know her. You know, she's just a skinny lady with a pregnant belly, a little pregnant belly. Mm-hmm. And she was pregnant with Kai. And Kai just got married. So now I don't want to say I'm feeling old, but God damn.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So that was cool and a mind fuck at the same time. You know, a lot of the people came that, you know, from the Vibe fam was there. Nice event, of course, set up perfectly. And I had never been to a wedding on a Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So that was cool because it was like a Sunday 9:30 in the morning wedding, which, you know what I'm saying? Everybody showed up. Everybody was on time. And it got going. The reception was by 11. You know what I'm saying? We was up out of there by 3. You know what I mean? So that was dope. It all came together. It was smooth. And it worked out. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So that was good. You know what I'm saying? It was a packed weekend. I had probably 2 other places to be as well, but I couldn't make it. So my niece had her 21st birthday party in LA where she had a blowout because in when she turned 16, she was supposed to have a blowout, but then the pandemic happened. So this was like the makeup event that she did while she's out there in college at USC and did it big. And, you know, my sister went out and I was supposed to go to that. But at the same time, too, I was supposed to go to Luke's street unveiling in Miami. So they named his block where he grew up after him, which was dope. And I wasn't able to make that as well. But I saw the pictures on everything and got to enjoy it all vicariously because you can't be everywhere at once.
Mm. Damn, brother, your dance card is full. Social life.
As they say, my cup runneth over.
You know what I mean? For sure. Muhammad the socialite, man.
I mean, that's all really family shit, for real. You know what I mean? It ain't real social shit, so it's all that's good. What's up?
Congratulations to the, you know, the newly married couple.
Word, you know,
congratulations to Carla, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And salute to Vibe for being the mothership, the tree to so many, you know, so many relationships and longstanding, like 20 plus year relationships at this point.
Right.
You know?
Right. Mm. Yeah. And y'all, you know, that's Carla has been on in the conversation before. Y'all can go check that out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, in the Carla archives.
Yeah.
It was a good episode too. That's what's up. That sounds good. Sounds like a good time out there.
Yeah.
I went to another baby shower.
Oh shit. Family matters on this motherfucker.
Family matters. Family people are wedding and people are procreating. You know, that's good news. That's all, you know, because especially in, you know, how things are in the world, it's always good to be around some positivity and some upliftment and you know, things that are trending for the better. So, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, no, it's good. This is back to back. Well, week to week, baby showers, it felt good. I was, not to be morbid, but I was like, it's good to cut a few funerals or a couple funerals with some baby showers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the dawning of something, you know, as mm-hmm. opposed to the end of something. But went and did that. That was a good time. You know, fam and all of that. You know, it's funny with the baby shower thing. I'm just saying because I went to the baby shower. I'm not going to say whose baby shower because I'm not sure if it's in the world like that. You know what I mean? That's the thing about children and babies and all of that. There's a moment where it's like, hold on, this ain't ready for the people yet. We're still mm-hmm. kind of close to the chest. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, I guess tucked to the belly. But so we did that. That was a good time. It was fun. But speaking of family, last week I went to go see Purpose, this play that came out that is directed by Felicia Rashad. Mm-hmm. And who is the and the guy that wrote, I think his name is Brandon Jacobs Jenkins. Mm-hmm. And it was good. It was a good play. It was a real good play. I'd wanted to see it after I seen Felicia Rashad on the Breakfast Club. You know, she just so, like, dignified and, like, just elegant in how she just, you know, projects and speaks about it. But, you know, what also had me wanting to see it was Kara Young is in it. Kara mm-hmm. Young is a kind of, I'll say up and coming, but like a new talent. Like, she's been doing a thing for a while. She was in Pearly Victorious and other things. But it's funny because I used to see her just out and about, like in the world, mm-hmm. you know, like just in the world, like going to clubs or whatever, just around the way. Even, I guess she's from Harlem, so even when I was living in Harlem, maybe I seen her around, but I just remembered her face. We never spoke back in the day. It's just, you know, there's certain, when you're in certain circles, you see certain people, you know, like, oh, okay, I see that person. You don't know them, but you know of them. So, like, when, I forget where I first saw her pop up, but I was like, oh, I know homegirl, her face. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Know that. Oh, that's what's up. She's doing a thing. And I tried to go see Pearly Victorious, but I just never got to it. So I made it a point to go see Purpose. And, this is something, I mean, some people probably know about it, and I, you know, should I put it out there? I'm not going to gatekeep it, but you know, because this is what happened. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine a few months ago, shout out to Amina Amani, real funny comedian, and she was telling me, like, she'll go to, you know, some of these Broadway shows, but she'll go, like, day of, you know, like, early, go to the box office and get what they call rush tickets. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I've heard about, you know, I know about the tickets booth and all of that, and I've heard about some of these lotteries and things of that nature, but when I went to last week's baby shower, it was down in the theater district, and I was like, let me go over here to this Purpose box office and talk to the people and see what the likelihood of getting rush tickets would be. And he was like, nah, you good. You come through. We've been having rush tickets, so you could come through. So I said, all right, bet. So he said, yeah, get here. You know, box opens around 10 a.m. If you mm-hmm. get here, probably about, I say, 9:30, maybe 9:45. He said people line up about 9:45, 9:30, something like that. So I said, all right, bet. You know, went to sleep early, you know, woke up early, went downtown, got there probably around like 9:15, mm-hmm. you know, 9:30, something like that. There was about four people online, you know, like four people online. It was this, I don't know if there was a couple or so. Nah, white guy and two white women and then black dude, right? And then it was like a picnic blanket on the floor, you know what I mean? With like, you know, snacks and all of this other shit. And I said to, I was like, "What y'all?" I said, "Y'all camped out?" I said it just kind of to nobody, just to the crowd. It wasn't that many people. I was like, you know, whoever I got, I asked the girl. I was like, "Y'all camped out?" She was like, "Oh, no, we just put that down because we ain't want to sit on the floor or whatever." And she scooped a blanket up and shit like that. And I was like, you know, first, because I was like, damn, they was out here like that, you know? But we on it. So I'm like fifth in line. So I'm thinking, hopefully we should be straight. Because at first, when I saw that blanket, I was like, oh, shit, this is crazy. But so I'm chilling there. I'm talking to them. And then I start talking to the older black dude. You know, and I forget what happened. I was like, I was saying, yo, there were two different shows. There was like a 5 o'clock, or no, it was a 2 o'clock and a 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm debating on which one I'm gonna go to because I already woke up dumb early. I'm trying to, and I wanted to do a few other things. So I was like, yo, how long is it? He was like, oh, it's 3 hours. I'm like, oof. Yeah, he said, but this shit fly by. I was like, oh, you've seen it a couple times. He was like, yeah. He said, that's my daughter. He pointed at Kara, and it was Kara's pops. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because when she did her run with Pearly Victorious, actually, I think she won the Tony. I know she won the Tony, but like when she did the run, like part of her story was like her father works at the Rainbow Room. He's been working there for like 30 years. So like they do like the Tony Awards announcements, the nominations announcements at the banquet. And he's like one of the captains there. So it was kind of like there was a kind of cool story about him at work while she's at the banquet. And then the nomination came out and it's just a moment where like, yo, your pops is right there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that was kind of fly. And, you know, real proud pops, whatever. All good. Got some amazing, amazing tickets. You know what I'm saying? Got the 2 o'clock. And like he said, that shit flew by. It was 3 hours, but it didn't feel like it. It had an intermission, but it didn't fit. It was a hell of a play.
Now, did the father help you get tickets or you just got it through the rush thing?
Nah, I got it through the rush thing. It was just a coincidence that the father was there. The father was actually getting tickets for her grandparents who are older, and you know what I mean? So they wasn't trying to wake up and stand online. So he went ahead and got that done. And then I seen him after the show too. He was out there with the grandparents. I met Kara. You know what I mean? And it was It was a good show. Like, you know, go check it out. You know what I mean? Y'all need to do that rush thing. Go see that rush thing. Because that rush thing is, if you can do it, it's a beautiful savings. You know, they don't rush everything. Because then I went over to see about Glengarry Glen Ross, which I also wanted to see with Kieran Culkin and Bill Burr and Bob Odenkirk. Because I was already a Glengarry Glen Ross fan just from back in the day. From doing sales, you know, just that. I forget who. It might have been either Kennard or Len. One of them was like, yo, you should watch. Somebody told me to watch it. You know, it's about, you know, the sales shit and always be closing coffees for closers or whatever. But, you know what I mean? One of those type of moments. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to see Bill Burr on Broadway. And then after Kieran Culkin just won the Oscar, you know, tickets are bananas. And I went there. They was like, nah, they don't do the rush thing. But they have some tickets that are not super expensive, so I might fuck around, check it out. You know, long story short, I do. I like the theater. I like that. I like watching that shit like that, just in that moment, that one take. They gotta get it. They gotta land it. I like that. I mean, we talked about it before, but I just like the set design. I really appreciate how they can, you know, bring some shit to life to where and it looks like reality. You know, like it doesn't look like just a set. Like they really, the attention to detail is crazy. Okay. But yeah, it was good. It was good. Yeah.
That's what's up. That's what's up. That sounded like it played out real nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
I can't complain. It was pretty good.
That's what's up. That shit. Well, you know, shit, after the family week, other than that, man, just back to the regular shit out here in this world. Did you see the thing about Rodney Hinton?
Yes, I did. I saw a little bit of it earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a little bit of it earlier today. Basically, it is unclear to me from what I saw. So well, this is
no doubt, no doubt.
Okay, no okay.
Doubt. No, you're totally correct to me because you know it's going around. It's going around a lot, and when you see, you know, a man's son who's killed by the police, the next day, the father kills a police officer. You know what I'm saying? By running them over. And then his arraignment in court, they got like 30 police officers like trying to ice grill them and intimidate them. You know, which the optics of this shit is already terrible because, you know, police already have the reputation for killing black people, you know what I'm saying, unarmed, you know what I'm saying, innocent or not, you know what I mean? So then when you see them, one of theirs go down, then they are, you know, intimidating people in the courtroom. It's, you know, bad optics off rip, you know what I'm saying? Now, the confusion that I take, that I'm getting, is that a lot of people are posting that they posting the whole thing with the police, so that's already getting people riled up. But then they're also saying that he killed the police that killed his son. Now, that's where it gets fuzzy because I didn't see anywhere that said that. You know what I'm saying? And with real information. It was saying that they haven't named the officer who killed his son. But I haven't seen anywhere that says that it was the same officer or he just took it out on another officer that was, you know, moving traffic, which, you know, that would not be cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I like that. That's where you split. Like, that wouldn't be cool now. At least, no, nah, I understand what you're saying. I just like,
if he went and took out revenge on the dude who did it, then okay. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But just a nigga just doing his motherfucking job moving traffic. You know what I'm saying? Right. Now, the optics of a cat walking in the courtroom and there's 30 police officers ice grilling him and he putting his head up like, yeah, nigga, I did it. You know what I'm saying? That's what got everything, got the whole internet going. You know what I mean? But if I had to break it down to the actual act, okay, I mean, you know, they saying an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But is it an eye and an eye? You know? But I get the sentiment because people have been so fed up with what's going on over the years that, you know what I'm saying, it seems like they got theirs, but I'm not sure if he got the right one.
I think that wasn't the the part that was unclear to me. And again, like I said, I just seen just one or two, you know, reels about it. And it was one of these reels where it was secondhand information with somebody kind of recapping the story. So that's always, you know, that could all, you already got to kind of take it with a grain of salt or whatever. But the thing that they were saying was that he may not have been the one to actually run the officer over. It may have actually been the mother who ran the officer over and he's taking the fall for it.
I didn't even see that one. That's another plot twist.
That's this whole nother plot twist. I don't know. So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely, it's dramatic as those oomphs all punctuate. you know, it's dramatic. And
as the oomph suggests.
Right. You know, and it's, to your point, like, yeah, you could understand the, I don't know if it's a crime of passion, but it's just like, you could understand, like, you know, there's a history of being, you know, just abused and taken advantage of and, you know, like black people, you know, by police, you know, and I think compounded with the fact that politically right now, things seem to be very much leaning into a more authoritarian fascist state, you know. The White House put out this a decree or whatever just about a week ago where basically they were talking about you know, strengthening and unleashing America's law enforcement to pursue criminals and protect innocent citizens. So basically what Trump said when he was running, you know, trying to get, you know, officers, you know, to pursue the law with impunity. You know what I mean? Like with this, no, you know, it's not going to be a situation where you could take them to, you know, take them to court for doing their job, however they do their job, no matter how aggressive as it gets. I mean, they do make the point to say, well, we don't want it to be fatal, but it's the slope is slippery as hell.
Yeah, I don't know how you stop it. It's already being fatal.
Especially when you feel like there's going to be no consequences to it. So, yeah, I can understand how this type of case, you know, resonates, particularly in the community, you know, where there's, you know, shit, it's a tradition of black people, like I said, being brutalized by police, killed, you know, and that, and oftentimes walking away with a slap on the wrist, you know. And yeah, it was a moment. I saw the clip where he's walking past all the officers with the "and what," you know, straight up eye contact. I did it, that type of thing, head high. I also noticed, because of the guy that was reporting it, I did notice there were like maybe one or two black women that were amongst the officers, and they didn't make eye contact with them. You know what I'm saying? Like it didn't feel like they were there to intimidate, but more so standing in solidarity. So you know, kind of that torn position. You know what I'm saying? To be somebody of the community, but then these are the people that you work with, and you know, you gotta, you know, y'all are in it together. You know what I'm saying? For right or wrong. So, but then I also thought, you know, that shit looked good and you know, on camera, but behind that wall, they, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
shit's different.
Buddy.
Shit's different. Yeah, it's different now. So
talking about that 100 men versus one gorilla.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about to be 100 of them motherfuckers waiting on your ass in between the courtroom cameras and that cell.
Right. You know, because they know exactly where the cameras and, you know, especially, you know, not even in the courtroom, but just in the jail, the holding facility, all that. They know where them blind spots are. They measure in blind spots. So, you know, and then, you know, like there's that solidarity and they take that as such a, you know, it's a deep offense, understandably. So it's not good at any point. You know, like this is the whole shit is unfortunate, but we'll see how it plays out. We'll see how this whole thing plays out, man. It's a wild time.
I seen that buzzing around, and you know, and yeah, you know, a lot of times, you know, people will take it, post it, and swear by it with great pride that, you know, what I'm saying, he had his head up high in the courtroom, which is understandable. You know what I'm saying, but then sometimes you gotta let the facts play out and see what it is. Not that wasn't a moment. It was. But you know what I'm saying? Before I repost it, let me see what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Before I co-sign the whole shit, I had to see what it is. You know what I mean?
And
I understand the rebelliousness and you know what I'm saying, let's get back at the man type of thing. But also, man, it gets, sometimes you do things out of passion that, you know, might not be the right thing to do at the time. But
sure,
we'll see how it play out. You know what I'm saying?
It's going to be tough because it's definitely, you know, if it is the person that killed his son, then that is premeditated. Or not premeditated, but it's motivated. You know what I mean? Right, it's like they're going, you know, they don't look good.
I mean, they already trying to say it was premeditated anyway, even if it wasn't the guy.
Right.
That he thought about it. He went back to the lot and came back and did it. But we'll see. We'll see, man.
It's an interesting time, man. Speaking of some other stuff that I seen on the internet that got me upset. See, this is the other thing. I forget where I heard this at, but you know, like I said, this whole thing with the White House and the policing and things of that nature. And, you know, there's this theory floating around that, you know, basically trying to incarcerate as many people as possible is kind of the way that they could kind of reclaim slavery, you know, in a way that, you know, that is, that's the slavery loophole, basically. And so it's just basically, you know, like, don't let your emotions get you into some shit that is going to overwhelm your freedom. You know, like, don't, you know, as they say, don't trick yourself out the game or what, you know, how they motherfuckers be saying this shit. And I saw, you know, because it's a time where people are like, everybody's on some divisive shit, siloed up. People, racists are becoming more brazen because, you know, you got a president that kind of can incite that and then look the other way, or they're, you know, good people on both sides type of thing and whatever, you know. But I saw this thing with the with this white woman who called a 6-year-old black kid who seemingly may have autism, called him a nigga. Because I guess he was trying to, he was touching on her son's toys or whatever, and she was accusing him of trying to steal the toys and, you know, and called him a nigga, and somebody recorded it and kind of like challenged her. Like, why would you call a 6-year-old a nigga? He acting like a nigga, you know, this whole thing, like, indignant. Like, yeah, and you a nigga too, da-da-da-da, whatever, whatever. So, you know, we've always talked about how the social media justice has, that became basically a courtroom you know, it used to be like, find out who this person is, identify them, and oftentimes, you know, the cycle of the story is that person later on crying, remorseful, I didn't know what I was doing, it was a moment of rage or whatever, instead of the other thing, because they're on the verge of losing their job and whatever. They've been labeled a racist. Now, things are starting to change, and this woman firmly planted her feet in the ground and was like, yo, I need money to relocate because people are pressuring me, people are aggressive towards me, this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, because I, who's the, listen, what is the world coming to when a white woman can't call a 6-year-old black kid a nigga? You know what I'm saying? Like, what? I thought we were free in this country. So much so that the people, you know, because now the racists, they got some money too. They put together a GoFundMe. I think today it's north of $500,000.
Damn.
So it's like, yo,
what city is this?
I think it's in Wisconsin, somewhere over there. You know what I mean? Somewhere over there where it's not a, I don't want to say we outnumbered because we everywhere, but you know, like,
nah,
it's
Wisconsin is bad for black people.
The numbers, the stats are terrible. Yeah. Milwaukee particularly.
Yeah, it's the worst for violence on women, the worst in black femicide. It's the worst in incarcerated black people, percentage-wise. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, she's got the lady's name. I don't even want to say the lady's name, but she got the, she's up, where's this? Oh, shit. Now it's 700,000. What part of the, where is this at? I think it's called Rochester. Yeah, Rochester. It's in Minnesota. I think it was Rochester. Yeah, Rochester, Minnesota. Yep. It's at Soldiers Field Memorial Park, which is very interesting too. But yeah. So it's a wild time. It's a wild time. And it's just like, gotta move diligently. You know what I mean? You got to move diligently, whatever that means. This is an offense or a plan that is kind of being made on the fly because we still got, 3.5 years to go, you know, allegedly. You know what I'm saying? Like, allegedly. I mean, this shit might be longer than that. But, it's kind of, it's not even kind of whack. It's terrible. It's terrible. But, you know, not to be on fucking Danny Downer, we'll talk about some more uplifting shit. There's all types of shit going on, man. They got
the Knicks won.
The Knicks won. Word. The Knicks won. I caught well, the Knicks won last night. They took a game against the Celtics, which is a beautiful thing because they are super underdogs in this series particularly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, some people might have even thought they could get swept. You know, because I don't think they beat the Celtics this entire season. Maybe, I'm not sure. But anyway, you know, I saw the last quarter of that Knicks-Pistons game where my man Brunson caught homie with that crossover. That shit looked so, like, it definitely looked like some Jordan, you know, against the Cavs type shit. Caught that shit. And it's just, listen, you know I'm casual as a fan. But we've said it time and time and time and time again. Here in New York, when the Knicks are competitive, when the Knicks go to the playoffs, it's an energy like none other. It is palpable out there. Yeah, man.
And even, it's like, go ahead.
I just say, even in a peripheral sense, even if I'm not watching all of the games, just it still affects you. And it makes you say, oh, yeah, let me tune in. I missed last night's game, but go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. What you about to say?
Nah, Knicks fans are like real fans. Like, you know what I mean? It's like they're historical fans, and they get in, and it's a lot of them. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, they've been in it. You know what I mean? They haven't been good for a long time, but last year when they had a run, they was in it. So now they charged up. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, they're expecting another run. So, so that's gonna keep the viewership competitive on a ratings tip. You know what I'm saying? Plus, the city. You know, I'm seeing more New York Knicks gear. I'm seeing more conversations about it in my group chats. You know what I'm saying? Even in my car club group chat is. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of Knick talk. You know, so it's a moment for New York right now. So hopefully they could push through the Celtics, and then shit, it's a competitive run after that.
Yeah. It's the third year in a row that we've gone to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, I must have misspoke it. I thought it was just last year, but my bad.
Yeah. Nah, that's what I'm saying. Starting to feel like something. We you know, shit looking good. Shit's looking good. But Yeah, it's nice. It's nice,
that's
man.
That's what's up.
Hell yeah. Did you see any of the Met Gala?
I mean, I didn't sit down and watch it. Of course, I've seen it cross the timeline. I've looked at some articles. You know what I'm saying? I've been in the mix of it. You know what I mean? There's quite a few little odds and ends about it. But go ahead.
I was just saying. I saw it. I watched it. I was sitting there. I was eating some crabs.
You was a spectator.
Yeah, I spectated.
Before you get into the Met Gala, did you see that shit where the lady cooked the crab in the air fryer?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, it's terrible. This is just a side note. It's real quick. We ain't even got to go into it. But it was a chick on the motherfucking thing doing a crab, a live crab. She seasoned it. It's live in a glass bowl, and she put it in the air fryer, which had everybody in an uprage calling her a murderer. But I know you're a crab aficionado, so I was wondering if you saw it.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I didn't see that, but
I'm going to send it to you.
Okay. It is murder. Now you got to compartmentalize yourself with that part of the, you know, the experience. There's not really too much way. It's not too much room to get around that. You know what I'm saying? You could go and get them killed already and steamed, but the thing about particularly steaming crabs, and probably even boiling crabs too, you know, since they're, you know what I mean, bottom feeders or whatever. Like, the thing is, you should never steam a dead crab. Mm. They call them dead men, I think they call them. But you don't want to steam a dead, because you could get sick. Because allegedly, like, you know, they're bottom feeders. So, like, bacteria builds up real fast in a crab when it dies. So the real horrific fucked up thing about steaming crabs is, when you know you go buy your crabs, if you're not going to steam them right away, you put them in the refrigerator, and that cold air puts them to sleep. But then now when you get it ready to go, you know, you got that water steaming, you basically got to wake them up. You got to wake them up and make sure that they're alive. Say, hey, you alive? I bet. Here's death. And it's right. It's fucking horrible. And they know. They know it. Damn near. Like, it gets really... It's fucked up, dog. Like, there's...
Barbaric.
It gets barbaric. You know, they say crabs in a barrel. Like, they're crabs that will, like, rip off other crabs' claws trying to save themselves. So, like, there's times where you, like, steam a bunch of crabs, and then, like, the crab, you get to the bottom of the pot, there's crab claws all over. They just been dismembering each other. Or they'll claw each other so hard that... they'll crush each other's shell. Like, it gets crazy. And the fucked up thing is, you gotta look past all of that because they're delicious.
Oh my God.
Unfortunately. And I hate that. I really do hate that part of the game. But I mean, it is what it is. What was I gonna say? But back to the Met. So I was sitting there eating crabs. And, you know, that's like my meditation anyway. But I watched it. It was on YouTube. It was live. I think I got, because I didn't really know much about the Met Gala. Maybe Bev might have, you know, talked about it in passing because she, you know, of her fashion background. But my ex, she was like very deep into fashion. You know what I mean? Like, she was into it. So, like, what I used to be struck by, and like, it was just, it's almost fascinating how her and another friend of mine, like, they could watch stuff like that, particularly, like, red carpet stuff. It don't even have to be Met Gala, but, like, they'll size up an outfit in seconds. And it's a strong yay or nay, and then break down why. You know what I'm saying? The shoes, you know what I'm saying? I don't like the way that shit flared out. I can't even speak to what the things are, but just, like, when I see people that are really, like, into what they're into, it draws me in. You know what I mean? Because they speak to it with, like, passion and insight. So, like, I think that's where it kind of came from. But beyond that, you know, this being, you know, the theme of it all, black dandy, you know, male black dandy, you know, this whole, based on this book called, Superfine? By Monica Miller, I want to say her name is. I definitely had it bookmarked somewhere. But, you know, so it was, Monica L. Miller, you know. So it's basically about, you know, dandyism and, you know what I'm saying, particularly black men getting fresh. And then, you know, the whole, like, the host committee was like Pharrell, ASAP, Rocky, LeBron, what's my man, F1, the,
Damson?
No, Lewis.
Oh, Lewis. Yeah.
Hamilton. Yeah, Lewis Hamilton. I'm about to say, because I'm getting confused with Jeff Hamilton. So, like, you know, they were the chairs. They were the hosts of it all. And, you know, I was just like, oh, this could be ill, just to see what people do. You know what I mean? This is like Easter Sunday, kind of. You know what I'm saying? To see what they're going to do. And then, funny enough, even more funny to me was you know, the concern and the part that could be funny is to see, like, white people's interpretation of it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, it was interesting to, like, to hear somebody, like, some of the white celebrities, you know, like Lala, I don't know how you pronounce her name. Echo Iwa, my homegirl from Saturday Night Live, who's mad funny, and Tiana Taylor. They were hosting it. They were doing the interviews on the steps and on the carpet. So, like, just hearing, like, how some of the white celebrities kind of handled it, how they tackled it when they were asked. So, how did you interpret the theme? You know what I'm saying? And some, you know. And a lot of it was a lot of tiptoeing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Again, not to cut you off, but at the Met Gala, it's going to be people who tiptoe it and stay mostly conservative about it, and people who lean all the way in. But go ahead.
Yeah, so it was a lot of that, but I think it was just what made it loaded was the fact that, you know, some of these other themes years ago, they're kind of even more abstract, camp or whatever, whatever, whatever. So it's just like kind of wherever you want to go with it. But when this shit is like black dandyism, you know what I'm saying? Tailored for you, but like, but black is in the description, like that. That's what we talking about here. So it was kind of interesting to see certain people like acknowledge it, and if they acknowledged it, like acknowledge it with some real thought. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It wasn't a whole lot of people. I seen like Anne Hathaway was kind of like, she was like, I just wanted to make Andre Leon Talley, you know, smile from heaven. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of, which is safe. You know what I mean? A cool way, whatever, whatever. Some other people were just like, you know, this is Chanel. You know what I mean? Like, I just wanted to get fresh. And look, I can't be mad because to your point, over the years, people don't really pay that much attention to the theme. They just say, okay, that's the jumping off point, but I just want to be fly. Let me put some fly shit on it, and maybe we could reverse engineer the story or whatever. But
be safe, you know.
Yeah, I'm put some shit on. But yeah, overall, the shit was, it was cool. Go ahead, what are you about to say?
No, sum it up, because I got something to sum it up with, too.
But overall, shit was cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought it was it was cool. You know what I'm saying? What I liked about it was they were celebrating some black shit. You know what I mean? And you could kind of feel that it looked like in the room, like black people was enjoying themselves. I heard somebody say, yo, it feels like a family reunion. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I ain't never watched a Met Gala before, even want to be at a Met Gala in that to that capacity. Not even like I wanted to really be at this one, but if I was going to go to any of them, this shit looked like this was the one. This was like mad black people and they just having a good fucking time. And then the last thing that I will say, then I'm going to let you, you know, you want to sum it up. But the last thing that I thought was, you know, not to get into everybody with everybody on, but this could kind of turn into a whole nother conversation. But you know, your man, Andre 3000, has the strongest creative license in the world right now. My man, his creative license is next level. People just say, nah, that's Andre being Andre. They call, you know, this nigga came with a piano strapped to his back.
On his back.
Motherfuckers called them Draytoven.
And then dropped a piano album that night.
A piano album that's like, some of them joints is like 15 years old, but it's just him dropping albums on instruments that he's not really that, he's not really that good at. You know what I'm saying? He's just fucking around. He called them sketches. Meanwhile, right. And I've given up the ghost. If you ever want to rap, let him rap. But I know this, and I think most people have, honestly, because, again, his creative license is strong, and I think people have gotten exhausted by it, but it's also the fact that, look, man, go ahead and do your thing. If you ever, it's just, I think for the few that still might get infuriated, it's like, okay, you play with the flute, you play with the piano, no disrespect, but you are still nice lyrically, and you do not want to fuck with what you are that nice with, and it's just interesting. But yeah, that's it.
Well, overall, you know what I'm saying? You know, I could dig the theme. Some people try, some people just didn't go there at all, just stay safe. I was more surprised that it wasn't more colors involved. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of people just had on black or white or cream. You know what I'm saying? You had some people in like a burgundy color. You know what I'm saying? Lauryn Hill went out there with the yellow, so that she was apropos. Right. Cardi B was apropos. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I like the interpretation Doja Cat had. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where it had a little leopard print in there, but then it had like the suit shoulders and shit. You know what I'm saying? They put some thought into that shit.
Right.
But it was a lot of black, which was weird to me. Because, like, even Andre 3000 will wear colors and shit on his regular old dandy shit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what stood out the most to me, that a lot of people were just wearing black. Janelle Monáe, she had her interpretation. She always got her interpretation.
She always going to go there, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She went there on some other shit. You know what I'm saying?
Teyana Taylor.
But one of the things I did notice that Fear of God got a lot of burn out there.
Did they? I didn't hear that. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's about 6-7 motherfuckers had on Fear of God.
That's what's up. That's what's
up. Yeah, but they did more of like a oversized look. Mm-hmm. I guess more of a nod to Leon Andre Talley, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like an oversized type of look. So I thought that was cool that they got a lot of burn, you know what I'm saying? I think my man's from FAMU too. Shout out to FAMU.
Yeah, he was FAMU.
Shit like that.
Jerry, you know, Lorenzo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He went to FAMU, so you know what I'm saying? Big shouts out to that. But for it to be themed dandyism, it didn't feel as such all the time. But that's just me on the outside looking in. I wasn't there. I wasn't in the room. I wasn't seeing how the room was decorated, dressed and shit like that. But it seemed like you get more of that show, even from like the, you know, even in Harlem, you know what I'm saying? On the day to day, you know what I'm saying? Or the cats, the Sapors, or however you pronounce that shit, out of the Congo. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, they be on it. You know what I'm saying? They be putting it together with whatever. You know what I mean? You don't even have to be, like, high fashion designers. They just be putting that shit on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I thought it would be a little more creative than it actually turned out to be. Now, people got creative. I'm not saying that it wasn't creative, of course. It's just that, again, it was very subdued in color. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, I agree. There's a lot of people that play it safe. A lot of people that kind of play it safe. I thought it would be a little louder. You know, Dandy in general is loud.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, you know what I'm saying? I guess they ain't want to go camp.
Right.
But damn, they're the same thing.
Yeah, I guess. Kind of, sort of. But one of the things that I saw, like, because I did see people saying that it was a conversation about Black designer representation, right? Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, there were a lot of Black designers that were in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, maybe they didn't get shouted out, but that's based on the politics of it too. Like, you know, it costs a whole lot of money to buy a table. So when you pay for the table, you get that red carpet situation. So if a designer is paying for the table, they want you in their shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, and then like, well, my man, we were talking about Lewis Hamilton, you know, a couple years ago, he paid for a table to have Black designers at his table, you know? Mm-hmm. But again, still, they're not going to get, you know, they're not going to get the super high profile look because they're a guest of, you know what I mean?
Right.
So from what I understand, because again, like what I saw, like when I watched the telecast or whatever, or the YouTube thing, there was only like a little bit of the people that I seen when I go on social media, like mad people were there. Like, and for the most part, a lot of people definitely played it safe. And I felt like I only heard, even though I felt like a lot of people were doing a lot of Cab Calloway interpretation.
Yeah.
I only really heard one person like really say his name, but like it was a lot of, you know what I'm saying? A lot of Zoot that suit. Type of little Zoot Suit.
You know, Spike Lee probably pulled one out of the Malcolm X archive.
I mean,
but it was Black as well.
Speaking of the archive of Spike Lee, Ruth Carter, she did Teyana Taylor's joint. You know what I mean?
So I thought that was kind of fly. I did see hers because I saw Lil Duval making fun of it.
Yeah.
Like, posted up next to a pirate with the same color suit on.
Hilarious. Yeah. But shit was cool. It was a good, you know, it was a cool opportunity. Nice little situation. You know what I mean? Word. Should be more of that type of shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, we they did it. It's done. They'll do it again next year. They'll be back on some white shit, and then we'll, you know, we'll complain and tell them about themselves, but in this day thing, and we keep it moving. Man. You know how it go.
Yeah, that's the cycle. That's the cycle of culture and celebration, I guess.
Right. What does this have to do with any issues and shit like that? The world is falling apart. We talking about some motherfucking costumes and shit. That's, you know, all that conversation is gonna happen.
Yeah, but you know, I got, you know, it's, you gotta look at it. You gotta take
the world gonna move.
Yeah,
man.
the world gonna move
regardless.
World gonna move, and if even if the world is moving on some bullshit, you know, don't don't not have a good time. That's what we do. You know what I mean? That's our tradition, even if it's celebrated or not, is niggas is motherfucking going to laugh and have a blast through the worst. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, shit, if we look at any of these chapters, ain't too many of them where we up. You know what I mean? But we had a good time through every era. You know what I mean? It was so it's something to remember. But, you know what I mean?
Couple of takeaways, though.
Go ahead.
Rihanna pregnant.
Yeah.
Third baby. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So that's happening. You know, they popping them out over there, ASAP.
Yeah, but
they nice for their nice family.
That's the not guilty baby. That's what it said. You know what I mean? Yeah. Freedom. That's the freedom. Yeah, good. Right.
But bigger than that.
Uh-huh.
Future cut his hair off.
Yeah.
And the internet is tripping.
Yeah.
They like, nigga, what is you doing? Yeah. Like, he didn't even look like the same person. You know what I'm saying? He looked like a regular nigga, like you know what I'm saying? Like a regular person, which was tripped out. Because he always looked, to me, I always say Future, niggas like C-Murder. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Niggas look like Aztecs. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Without them dreads, boy, he looked like a regular dude. Regular Joker with blonde hair.
Yeah. My homie, shout out to my man Reg Thomas. He said Future looked like Lori Lightfoot.
Damn, yeah, somebody did say that.
Oh, shit,
and then the other, what's the comedian that used to be on Larry David's show? The lady?
Susie Essman?
Afro.
Oh, Wanda Sykes.
Wanda Sykes. Yeah, I saw that too. They posted a picture of him next to Wanda Sykes. Yeah. And I was like, oh, they killing him.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
He might need to go do the T-Pain. I hope he kept his dreads. They could sew him back on.
Don't do that.
That's what T-Pain did.
Oh, man. Damn. I didn't know that. But
motherfuckers just forget about it after a while. Shit.
See, this is good, though. This is good. Because this is like, Future's had a hold on the culture for a while. Like, he got diehard fans. He's been in a space of his own. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's nobody in his space. You know what I'm saying? Nah. Like, I don't think so. So
I mean, he's partners, Young Thug is like, you know, parallel, but not
parallel. Yeah. But like, Future is probably more, I would say more prolific than Young Thug. Obviously, Young Thug was fighting for his life. You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I mean? That's when you got to take a moment. You know what I mean? You got to prioritize. But it's going to be interesting to see if he can, if he could still thrive with this whole new look. You know what I'm saying? Because to your point, the Future look was the Future look. You know what I'm saying? Like, he always looked like that.
It was solid. Like, he might as well have had a statue, nigga. You can't change your look from the statue.
I mean, we're going to see. I mean, Andre 3000 could. Andre 3000
could. What was Andre 3000 where he changed his look?
He put on different
clothes.
I'm talking about Andre 3000 has changed his entire discipline. I'm just saying that man created space like Jalen Brunson.
Obviously
did.
Not as successful because you can't use, like, writing it off the way for him to rap again.
No, I'm not writing it. I'm not writing it off. I listened to the Piano album. It was not dope. You know what I mean? But it was what it was. Still Andre 3000. Still respect there. And what I'm saying is, he got a hold on his people. Like, people are like, well, let Dre do Dre. He got, that's what I'm saying. He got created. He got licensed. This is going to be interesting to see if people are going to let Future, because, you know, they, what do they call Future? The Toxic King. You know what I'm saying? And like, this is the moment where this is probably the first moment where I've really seen the fans be toxic against Future. You know what I'm saying? Where they like, look at this nigga look crazy.
This nigga look mortal, nigga.
Yeah.
Like regular mere mortal.
Yeah. And now, you know what I mean? Is he going to go out like, what's my man's name? Samson. Is he going to go out like Samson? Or is it, you know, wait, did Samson go out like that?
Nah, it's like, damn, not Samson. It's,
because you could cut my kid, but one now Samson, still have strength.
Yeah, Samson.
So, Samson actually did have strength after he cut his hair, or did he Fuck up.
I thought this, the tale was that he lost his strength, but I'm not sure.
I think so. Because
Big Daddy Kane said, you cut my cameo and I still have strength. So he was trying to say, I ain't like that. But
Right. That's what I was, because I just saw the Nucci's porch.
Hip hop and Greek mythology was coming at the same time. And you know what I'm saying? Nigga kind of leaned more to the Big Daddy Kane than Plato.
Right.
Socrates and them.
Yeah. And some of that shit was wrong because, you know, Dizzy Gillespie didn't play the sax. But, anyway, we'll see. Yeah, Future's looking great. He looks different. We're going to see. He's going to have to put some shit out.
He's going to have to get the look in. You know what I'm saying? Because especially with the shades, I couldn't tell that was Future, for real.
He was kind of moving fast, too.
He looked like a nigga just left the nightclub. You know what I'm saying? From the regular section.
Yeah, damn. Oh, man. Well, we will see. Ah, shit. So I think it's time. Let's take it out to Queens, man. Unless you got something else you want to chop it up about.
We going to Queens.
Let's get to Queens, man. What episode was this? This episode eight? What's the name of it? You know the name?
I don't remember the name.
Okay.
I didn't even look at the name, for real, okay. I went straight to it.
Yeah, this was an eventful episode. I typically try to rewatch. I didn't rewatch, so I'm gonna be recollect.
They got busy on this one.
They open up with Marvin. He got Quan basically about at gunpoint. Robbing them, talking about look.
Which is crazy because we all knew it was Marvin, even though we ain't know it was Marvin. But nobody don't talk like Marvin but Marvin.
Yeah. Nah. And nobody get aggravated. Like, people know Marvin's triggers now. No pun intended. You know what I'm saying? But like, if you say some shit about him being an underling or him answering to a sister, that's it's over for you. Those are famous last words. So Quan is, gunpoint on his knees in front of the safe, trying to hold it down. You know what I mean? Look, listen, man, I'm not going to give you that. We can figure it out, whatever. Marvin is like, dog, I am not fucking playing with you. You know what I'm saying? Do you need me to shoot your homies to let you know? Let me do this. Bop, bop, I'm going to shoot both of these. Now they dead. And the next thing is going to be you. So what's the deal? What you going to do? Give me this fucking...
And this nigga says, what you gonna do, Hong Kong Fui? Oh, nigga, man. That shit threw me so far back in the 80s, man.
Yeah. that casual racism.
The whole song came Hong Kong Fui.
Oh, see, I didn't know that record.
Nah, it's a cartoon.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
That shit was a whole cartoon, nigga, in the 80s.
Was it like a cartoon dog or something like that?
Yeah.
I may have seen the cartoon, but I don't remember the theme song. Nah.
Yeah, Hong Kong Fui, number one superstar, something like that.
Oh, man, I got to find that. I got to listen to it. I thought he was just pulling some shit out of his head.
So far back, dog, I almost fell down.
Damn. But, he wound up shooting Quan, because Quan was like, yo, you rocks, little brother. Some shit like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when he took the mask off.
Yeah. No, he didn't take the mask off at first.
When he took the mask off, that's when he said, oh, you rock, brother.
I thought he did that after he said that. Then he took the mask off.
Nah, he had the mask off and looked up. I don't know why he took the mask off.
That was stupid.
I guess he knew he was going to kill him, but.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He took the mask off.
Okay. Now, this is the thing. Because later on in the episode, Rock is like, nobody's gonna know that we killed Quan as long as we ain't leave a smoking gun, right? And then you see Marvin look a little crazy because he took his mask off.
Mm-hmm.
But who was still in the room when he took his mask off? I mean,
the niggas that was with him.
But that's it.
Yeah.
And they knew it was Marvin from the door anyway.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out why he seems to be nervous.
Shit, I don't know.
Yeah, that kind of threw me a little bit. I felt like,
I don't know if it's true. I just felt like he was getting questioned and he didn't want to get questioned about the shit. He handled it. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe. Okay. Yeah, so they killed Quan. I guess I understand that because Quan started working with Unique.
Right, so that's they getting back to the Unique,
mm-hmm.
disempowering Unique.
Right, right. And I guess Rock is to think, even though Unique is known for jumping to conclusions, Rock somehow feels like there's no real way that this points back to me. You know what I'm saying? Or
that's the TV line. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because even when Unique went out to Jersey, he was like, well, we don't know that she did it. You know what I'm saying?
He said that or somebody else said that? He didn't say
that.
Nah,
the nigga, the Unique cat. Plug and his backup in New Jersey, the New Jersey
right.
mob.
Right. Yeah, cat that remind me of like Rock Wilder. Yeah.
Okay. No. I'm talking about the white one.
Oh, Russo.
Italian.
Russo.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we come out of the robbery, so to speak, the murder robbery, and they go straight into Lou after putting in that good work, as Imani says.
Oh yeah, because I like my job.
Yeah. You got any more jobs?
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
well,
she wanted to know.
I
know
you like the moonlight. Yeah, they was going in on the pen.
But, you know, being that it's power and shit be happening all across the board any time of the season, she kind of sounded like a fed, man.
Yeah. So,
you know, this thing is about talking, you know. Uh-huh. I want to know your feelings and, you know, tell me about your mother. And he like, man, I don't want to talk about that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
Like, Lou can't do too much talking now. He got too much shit.
Yeah, cause he's you know, he get all sad and really he open up a vein. Yeah,
right. Well, at least he ain't drinking now, so
that's cool. True.
And then, you know, as we will get to later in the episode, he got that murder out of his system. You know what I'm saying?
Out of system? Or do you think he relapsed and he back? Cause I don't know if it's out of system. I think he back.
You know what I'm saying? He like I am who I motherfucker am. Right. Take me for a joke.
Right,
but
right.
We're gonna get there. Right. So, in order to get there, Birilla and his comrades in murder and mm-hmm. his comrades in robbery,
mm-hmm.
pressing them. You know what I'm saying? Right. I think his name is Kenyatta. I call a nigga Umbutu. The nigga from Black Panther. Uh-huh. The nigga old Jeezy looking ass nigga.
Uh-huh.
Talking about the knowledge and the mathematics, but meanwhile, all mm-hmm. about this robbery and murder.
Right.
So they press him and his side partner, who's really egging that shit on, like mm-hmm. this nigga lying. You know, they pressing Birilla to spin back and hit the real house since they fucked up the wrong house. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Birilla is stressed. You know what I'm saying? So he leave the scene stressed. Unique pulls up in the motherfucking BMW with the BBSs on it looking clean. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? With Rock on the side of the street like nobody don't see this Range Rover just sitting on the same street.
Right, right. South side. Right.
A whole Range Rover. Like, it ain't that many of them out there. I could see if you jumped into a little Civic or something. Corolla.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you in your range.
Stop it. Yeah, come niggas on, know you man. By your car. Real quick, though.
Go ahead.
Them cats, the bookstore cats that ran up on Birilla, they move real sloppy to be some learned cats. You know what I'm saying? It's like one side they have Dr. Umar, but then these niggas is like you got away. And one of your mans, I don't know if he died or he definitely got hit. We don't know what happened to him, but they won less man. So they just seem like they just moving real sloppy. That's all. They just seem like they're moving real sloppy.
They obviously not full-time, you know, robbers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hungry for the lick.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they've been around the street life. They know about Lou because Lou been in the streets. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? His reputation precedes him. They obviously wasn't on the same level as him. So they're not big-timers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
They opportunist. You know what I mean?
Right.
So where was I? Okay, so Unique pulls up, Rock It's lurking. You know what I'm saying?
You go to his Dapper Dan situation.
Yeah, so now she know where he be. You know what I mean? She pulls off. Then we got Kanan and Juke. Kanan and Juke meet up at the food spot, the Peaceable Diner, wherever they used to be in the beginning.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Setting up their own plays now. And Kanan is insinuating that his mama might have killed Famous. Juke being, you know, a little more in tune with life and the world and the universe than Kanan, it's like, nah, Rock wouldn't do that. But he got some compelling counterpoints, you know what I'm saying? Well, she killed this one, she killed that one, Rock could do anything to do, you know what I'm saying, keep that shit going. So he was like, well, I'm gonna go talk to Snaps and Pops. And they got connections with the police, see if they can figure out what they know. You know, it's a very high school formed opinion on getting this information, but here we go. He goes out and gets it. He goes out to try to get it. Back to the unique spot. Little man and the little person is in there.
OC.
OC, Kanan's person, who done switched sides. And now I don't know what to do, cause he been gone too long to go back, but he ain't been down long enough to be down with the crew, and he impatient, and he way too little to be impatient. So the big man is bullying. I'm like, nigga, come on, all right, that's your problem. You want your problems to be my problems, cause then it's gonna be a problem.
Yeah.
So
you need a gun.
Yeah, you need a lot of shit.
Yeah, man, you need a gun.
He ain't getting nothing to take from the Kanan robbery. So he just tucks his head, stroll back to the chair, and leaps up in it.
Yeah. I rewound that a couple times because it was interesting because I didn't know, like, there's a part of you that's like, that could be funny, but then there's a part of you that's like, that's the reality of the situation. You know what I'm saying? That's how he lived. Yeah, true indeed. But that's how he lived, which I thought was interesting that they showed that. Like, they showed that. Like,
he had to.
He hopping into the chair. Yeah, man.
They didn't give him a regular chair. They gave him a high chair.
They ain't got no chairs for him. No, he said a high chair. Damn.
You're a high boy.
All of them was out there. But,
man, that was funny.
Yeah.
So we swing back to the studio. B-Rilla can't get his lines right. So the engineer and Lou like, man, what is going on with him? The engineer like, he needs some rest. Lou calls him out. What's going on with you, bruh? And then he like, man, I need to talk to you alone. So they sent the engineer out. He confessed his sins. Now Lou is like, man, you done fucked up. Now you gotta deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Cause shit, nigga, he can't send him out there to get killed. Like, we in the middle of doing something.
Right.
So now he in it. You know what I'm saying? Not that he wanna be in it, but he in it. Little man is still pressing the issue over there with Unique. Unique get there, and he can't wait to run his spiel. Unique, like, man, hold on. He doing some other shit, talking some other shit. And then he was like, man, what'd he say? What was the line he said? I want to say it right, but I got it in my head. What'd he say?
I forget what the line was, but go ahead, what you remember? Maybe
he said something about, man, I got, you know what I'm saying?
I gotta
get somewhere so I could rest. I don't know what he said. But anyway, he said something and then Unique shot his ass.
Yeah, and then hit him with the line after it.
Hit him with the line right back. Now you're resting. Whatever the fuck.
Yeah,
he
something
said.
Like that. Yeah, shot him in his goose vest.
Shot. Did he shoot him in the goose vest?
Yeah, he had his goose vest on. Did
he hit him twice?
He hit him about three times because I thought he was cool.
Dead in the head too.
Yeah, and you seen the feathers come out. Yeah, and he shot him dead in the head too. It felt like I'm chilling. But it was crazy.
You said it felt like what?
I don't want to get into no real little person slander. But you just Yeah, man. Again, he needed, to your point, he was I was going to say he's in over his head, but he was. I didn't mean it like that. But what I'm saying is, to your point, it's a lot of that we seeing. Mm-hmm. We seeing a lot of that. Like, he, shit is deeper than it should be for him. He's over here with Kanan and them, who are still
fledgling.
Yeah, they fledgling. You know what I'm saying? So he moving in a way that he shouldn't. You know what I'm saying? Because he think that Unique has got his back or whatever. Unique is for Unique. So he do some shit that he can't even really hold. And when he's like, yo, shit's fucked up. What's going on? I need you to help me. Da-da-da-da-da. Unique is like, he look at this motherfucker like a burden. You know what I'm saying? And he don't see that. He's got, you know, so, and I also see that with Kanan, where Kanan going to snaps and pop. Mm-hmm. He was pretty good at it. He ain't volunteered too much information, but I wouldn't think it's hard for them to infer that Kanan thinks that Rock had Famous killed. So mm-hmm. now they could take that shit and kind of play it against him.
Well,
you know what I mean? But we'll see.
Not to fast forward into that situation, but since we're here,
yeah,
they're listening to see if he's inferring them. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
They also listen to see if he's inferring Rock, which they probably assume, but as we see when they go meet with the police, it was actually them. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't even see that he caught with the...
So they went and met up with their police connects and was like, you niggas is sloppy. We got niggas out here asking about this shit. You know what I'm saying? This shit gonna point back to us. Now we'll figure out what he's thinking. You know what I'm saying? Even though Kanan not thinking them, they're like, man, y'all fucking up. You know what I'm saying?
So shit, I missed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so with that slight inference, it felt like, I'm not sure, but I might be wrong, but it felt like they were the ones who set Fame up. And now everybody's pointing at Rock.
Which is interesting, though, because why would they set Fame up?
Because because when he told the police, he was like, because what he was saying could affect our business. You know what I'm saying? So they were in business with Kanan. So if it affects Kanan, it probably affects them.
Yeah, I didn't see. I didn't realize. I guess because it affects Kane and it affects them. But it just, okay.
It was a line. They didn't say why, but they said it will point back to us.
Interesting. Yeah. Man. I always like their scenes.
They had some good shit this time.
They rock out. Mm-hmm. They rock out. They had a couple moments, man. They got the son Unique. Go back to whatever crypt you living in.
Oh, man. She was like, listen, man, you go back to whatever coffin, crypt, wherever you dead motherfuckers go and let the grown folks talk.
Right.
That's what he told Unique.
He had to take that shit on the chair, take that in stride, like, all right, fair enough.
Yeah.
I need y'all for a second.
So,
Rock
got the plug, the dope came in.
Yeah, a lot of it. Looking
Unique
good.
Got pressed by 5-0 after killing Lil Man. But, you know what I'm saying, they trying to press him about killing his brother and Officer Howard.
They didn't press him about Lil Man.
No, not about Lil Man. They pressed him about Howard and his brother.
Yeah, and his brother and Ronnie. Yeah. Oh, we also get a nice quick moment with Juke Bourne when she go looking for OC, go to the brother's house, go to the mom's house actually, and then the brother there. And the brother, you know, thirsty.
Predatory behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. Super predator. And the predator became the prey. You know, real smooth.
Bomb, bomb.
Yeah. Now see, if you had done it the right way, you wouldn't have that knot on your hand.
Yeah, if you just told me that in the beginning.
Yeah. I thought she was gonna fucking shoot at it, cause she loved to let that, you know what I mean?
She
loved
like
to
daddy.
Shoot above. Absolutely. She used a little bit of resistance.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's interesting. Spot. Now, maybe all of this will come back towards the end of the season, but her whole liaison with the lesbian girl whose man she killed, that shit seems like they treat that shit like famous. Nah, like, we don't even hear about that. We don't even see her no more. That shit is over. So we'll see. I mean, it is what it is. She out here
for a killer now. Shit.
She out here. She losing count over who she killed. Oh, right then. I did kill homie. I forgot. Yep. Yeah, that's true.
So
that's her real body count.
You know, right. Like, so we got Unique. He went to Jersey, like I said, to speak to the dude. Because he want to get back. He want to get some violence and take these Conas back.
Yeah.
And the dude was like, nah, we don't even know if it's her. You know what I'm saying? Right. And then he was like, man, we out here looking like some bitches. The Italian nigga said, speak for yourself.
That's you problem. Yeah, nigga, where is my money? What is you talking about? Also, speaking of Italians, and this felt like a bit of a stretch. This felt a little stretch to me. When DeSantos, DeStefano asked Marvin, yo, you heard anything about my man in Howard Beach that got, you know what I mean, that got found in the river? And he's like, no, I don't know anything about it. And it looked like, you know, DeStefano felt like he might have been lying, but this is the thing. I think that was a bit of a reach because, okay, Early was having a problem with him. I don't know if he really said exactly who he was. He said, yo, I'm having a problem with a cat that's not paying up. Mm-hmm. So Marvin said, yo, handle your business. It wasn't like Marvin called for the killing. He just told him.
You dealing with niggas who ain't really professionals. Like, this nigga run a car shop. Nigga, he just side hustling.
Understood. But what I'm saying is that still don't feel like he was the one that called for the hit. He's just somebody that came through his car shop, said, yo, nigga, you need to handle business.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was real casual. It wasn't like, who's the guy? Where they live? All right, this is what you do. You know what I'm saying? Right. It wasn't like he put the hit in play.
Yeah, but that's a nigga trying to weasel out the situation. You know what I'm saying? So he's like, nigga, it's on you too. That's what he said. So
Early said that. Early said Marvin. That.
But and Marv know it's on him. That's why after Marv had that conversation about the concrete shoes, he went and took care of the talking nigga. He should have took care of Early too, but we gonna see.
Yeah, we're gonna see what happens.
There's a lot of killing with no consequences around this queen.
No, it's a whole lot of bodies. But what's also funny, it's funny is the fact that what's my man's name that got killed? Leon or something like that? He just known for going to jail for just talking too much. Exactly. That's the nigga that's mouth got him in jail. That shit was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So, Rock and Juke had a moment about the mama. I think Juke was trying to fill out. You know what I'm saying? But then when Rock brought up fame, it still could have seemed like, you know what I'm saying, she did it. You know what I mean? Just by asking too many questions about it. Because that's the side that you juking them on right now.
Especially now that he put that in her head. Because I didn't think it was nothing crazy. She said the same shit she been saying. Yo, look at the cannon. Doubt. Yeah.
No doubt.
But, go ahead.
Nah, that's it.
Now, this is the thing, though. We fast forwarding a little bit. But it looks like, you know what? I didn't realize what you said about snaps and pop. Because it also now, it almost looks like, unless that's a snaps and pop thing too, it would lead you to believe that for a hot second, before you said the thing about snaps and pop, it would have led me to believe that maybe Rock did have something to do with it because she had those cops, or I thought, those two cops that came on the bus to get Crystal off the bus. Now, are those the same two cops that was cool with snaps and pop? Because the only thing is, the only person that knew that Crystal had a bus to catch is Kanan and Rock.
Well, I don't know. So, I don't know. I don't know if it's the same police.
Yeah, but it was just interesting. Like, immediately after she left.
But yeah, that one guy, he been on Kanan the whole time. The one that's been running through, who pressed Unique. He pressed Juke. At the pizza spot.
Right.
I believe it's the same. I think he wanted to get on the bus, but I'm not sure. I ain't really paying
attention.
Yeah,
I'd have to go back and look. Because that's two sets
of different cops, because the other sets of cops is one black one and one white one.
That wasn't one black one and one white one that got Crystal off the bus?
I don't remember it being one black one and one white.
Okay. Because that's the only reason I'm thinking, like, the fact that they got her off the bus means I'm feeling like, or like they're leading me to believe that they're about to kill her. Or, well, we see, I know you don't watch the trailers, but they, you know, they got her locked up.
Right. But see, I don't think Rock would have a reason to kill her.
Right. Right. I didn't think so either, even though she did walk out on some slick shit, but that's been the temperature of
no motherfucking.
Yeah.
That
and that's their relationship. Yeah. That's almost their relationship.
She wants her to take care of Kanan.
She do. She do. And she wants to take care of Kanan.
Right.
But Kanan is like, nah, man, you got to get up out of here because I can't go through too much more of this. Damn, it was another thing that I saw that, I don't know. I mean, shit, let's talk about Lou.
All right, well.
Getting back in his bag.
So, Lou done stepped in the shit. He went to go talk to Mobutu now. Mobutu ran him up out of that. Well, Mobutu was like, nigga, whatever, nigga, I don't know what you're talking about. And then his wild card right hand was like, nigga, get the fuck on, you know what I'm saying? Mobutu was like, you know, your reputation precedes you, but you're like, you're getting soft, like the castrated you out here. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's the key trigger point for the whole Stark family.
Right.
So, you know, my man on the Wildcat, he put his hands on his pistol. Lou peeped it and backed out gracefully. I still don't understand how a nigga walked out the... Didn't back out. He walked out with his back to him, but okay.
Right, right. A lot of trust.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of trust in this in this moment.
No blood in the bookstore.
Right. So, you know, they like, nah, we got to get rid of these niggas now. You know what I'm saying? So, Mobutu was on it with Kenyatta. He was on it and, you know, followed the niggas to the office. They went upstairs. Then she's like, man, they could be there for a while. He's like, we gonna wait. So as it got late, the dude like, man, god damn, can I just go home and get something to eat? And he was like, nah, nigga, we gotta hit our target, nigga. And so they did some slick shit. I guess they peeped it, you know what I'm saying? They said B-Rilla went out first, stood by the door. They like, okay, there you go. Yeah, let's go get him. He was like, nah, let's wait for Lou. And he kept saying his whole name. Let's wait for Lou Thomas. You know what I'm saying? So they waited for, he caught this shit. He waited for Lou. Lou pops up on the window, knock on the other, on the passenger side window. You know what I'm saying? And got straight on. Pow, pow, pow. You know what I'm saying? And then that's when the 50 narration comes in. Once you get a taste of this life. You know what I'm saying? You love it. You got to love it to die for it. You know what I'm saying? Lou stood over and put him on down. And you can see it. He back. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody was questioning. B-Rilla was questioning him. Mobutu and them. Kenyatta questioning him. You know what I'm saying? He let niggas know, shit, this me. Man.
Yeah.
And then that I ain't no joke came on. I ain't no.
That's the second time they done rocked a Rakim record. At least the second time.
I mean, that was his era, man. That was his era. Yeah.
What was crazy though? What was mad funny to me was right before Lou shot him, he was like, "Jumbo, nigga," which I had to look that shit up. I couldn't
figure out what he said. I thought he said Jumbo, but now I got what you said, Jumbo.
Jumbo, which is hello in Swahili. He was like, "Jumbo, nigga." Bow, I said, "Oh bow. Shit!" Yeah, man. Yeah, and and you could tell he's a performative killer. You know what I'm saying? He gonna get his recognition before I put you down. Like, hey, it's me. Whack, whack. Yeah, and then I thought my man was gonna have a gun when he got out the car. He didn't have a gun.
Yeah.
But what was also interesting though, and you gotta remember, it's like the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And I guess there's way, 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 way less surveillance.
Yeah, there ain't no cameras out on the street.
There ain't
like
no cameras on the street. But this is still damn near, what was it, the end of the, it was at night? I guess it was kind of like.
It was at night. So we don't know how late it was because nigga was asleep. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Shot him right in the middle of the street. What else are we forgetting? Anything else we forgetting?
Nothing important. Man, a lot of little shit. You know what I'm saying? Police pressing people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Cannon Girl went to Rock. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Nah, that was a good episode. I fucked with it.
Yeah, that was good. We're going to see. We got maybe two more left. I'm nervous, but you know, I thought about it. I was going to say I'm nervous about Marvin, but I feel like this is the third season in a row I've been nervous about Marvin. That's just how they paint it. Marvin has always been like a, you know, just... He's a wild card, you know what I mean? But I don't think Rock is looking to do nothing to him. I'm actually nervous about Rock. You know, we'll see what happens. Something might happen, and especially
it seems like all roles are closing in on him.
Yeah, it's like nobody is, and like particularly, almost like one of the final straws. Even though I'm not sure if it all the way swung there, because it kind of left it ambiguous a little bit, but. The jukebox Rock shit has always been close. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not sure if in that last encounter, the Juke kind of like lean over to the side of, yeah, she killed Famous. But then the other part of it is, you from a killer family, right? And I know Famous is your friend. You know what I'm saying? Your pre-street friend. You know what I'm saying? The innocence friend. But you going to put Fame's death over your aunt? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But you know, when you young, you know, like your emotions is different. You know what I'm saying? You feel things a lot differently. So, oh, and one thing I thought was interesting, I was surprised by, was it looked like Kanan took that OC death kind of hard. Not even in a way of, damn, I wanted to kill him, but like, damn, not another one of them.
I think Kanan feeling the pressure, that shit up on him. Niggas is dropping niggas right around him.
Yeah, taking the money and all that shit.
You know what I'm saying? They got his stash, they killed his partner.
Right.
That's up on him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm reading one of these threads. Yeah, I think everybody's confirming that Snaps and Pops made the call, and it was the same two cops that they had that got old girl off the bus.
I'm just trying to figure out how they knew
that she was getting on. Must have been following her.
Probably was following her, and then they got something that Kanan is, you know, he hold dear. Because I guess that's because
she was last at Rock House, and then if she come up missing, what who you gonna blame it on? Rock.
Yeah, and that's a whole nother. But now he looking at her like she's killing everybody I fuck with. Yeah.
Damn. So everybody think Rock is out to get him.
Let's see. We'll see what happens. Yeah, I don't even want to make no predictions. I know you don't like making predictions, but it's a good season so far.
It's a good season. I like how they pulled it together. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just the Power Universe is the most solid out of the Power Universe to me.
For sure.
Not to,
for sure.
You know what I'm saying? I fuck with Juke's Carhart. You know what I mean? I know she wore it before, but I looked at it this week like, that shit is hard.
I tell you this one thing. I think I do remember she had the Detroit jacket. But I'd say this though. The Juke thing, this one thing that kind of threw me in the Juke shit. I was just like, damn, Juke is like that. When the cop pulled up on her, one, she tucked the pistol, but when the cop pulled up on her and then she left, she threw a whole slice out. I was like,
she was trying to get up out of there.
Yeah, but you could get up out of there with that slice. You ain't got to throw the slice in the thing. That almost would make you look a little crazy.
Nah, but it was also like, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Your
meal. Go ahead and eat your meal. She was like, you already did. So she probably was blowed.
I got it. But I was like, damn, that shit. I was like, and that shit looked like a good ass slice too. And it was funny because seeing her chefing her shit up, you know what I mean? Putting whatever, mad garlic or whatever on that shit. That was a beautiful thing. I think that's it, man. I think that's it. So listen, before we transform and roll out, let me let y'all know something, man. I am still on tour, still in this world, still in these streets, doing these shows, and we're adding shows. We got some new developments. Like I told you last week, well, first off, let's just say this. May 22nd, I'm in Arlington, Virginia at the Arlington Draft House. I think there's still some tickets available. If you in that area, get your tickets now. That's coming right around the corner. And brand new, just announced the next day, I'll be in Philly. I'll be at the Punchline Philly on May 23rd and May 24th. Two shows, one Friday, one Saturday. Tickets are on sale right now. June 5th, I'm in Austin at the Creek in the Cave. Tickets are on sale right now. And we already know, June 26th in Batavia, Illinois, I'm at the Comedy Vault. All of these tickets can be purchased at DamianLemon.com. There's links to all of the shows there. And shit, I love to see y'all. We're going to have a good time. Show up, and I'll show out. It's going to be a good one. But that's all I got to say. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation. Yeah.